Section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976, allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. The views and opinions expressed in this video and on UME Radio YouTube channel are those of the host and or the guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of UME Radio YouTube channel.
Let's talk
relationships on UME Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.
I am a author, so my book Things Left Unsaid Before I Do is about questions that I wish I had asked or I had gone in depth in before I got married, and that those questions would have clarified certain aspects of the marriage to probably help it to be a bit better. I mean, not everything that the counselor or premarital counselor can help you with, but at least those basic things I believe should have been covered. So that's what it's about. A little over a year after I got married, that was my first marriage, I was at work and I thought about some of the issues that we were having, and I decided to just it started out just by writing them down in my diary and writing things about them that I wish I had known and how to better deal with it. That's how it started. You can find my book via Shopping Assistance JA there on Instagram. And if it is that you want to order it via online, you can order it on Amazon. If you want to contact me, you can contact me via The Unfiltered by J, that's on Instagram, or Gloria Adegold on Instagram.
Welcome to Let's Talk Relationships on UME Radio. That's WMEDB New York. And we hear, if you look to my left, if you look to my right, no one is there. So tonight I'm kind of going solo, all right? But we're going to make it happen because we have a great audience. We got to just give a shout out to Lady Gloria. She's not doing too well. And so we got to send a prayers out to her, and that she'll have a speedy recovery and she'll be back pronto. And also, of course, our favorite awesome Lady Misty. She's also recovering as well. So life has its turns, ups and downs, but we're glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. And I'm sure you audience, you're known to be very spirited and very engaged. It will be another great night. So we are looking forward to some great guests tonight that we had last week. And the topic tonight is managing expectations of your partner. Is jealousy ever a good thing in a relationship? And we had a real spirited conversation last week. And we're just gonna kind of continue the same trend. We kind of left off with a kind of a cliffhanger, and I can't wait to hear what happened after the machete and stuff came out. So, looking to have a wonderful time tonight. We have our returning guests. We have Steve Lawrence. We have Pastor Morrison. And we have a guest that's soon to be here. But we do have a little bit of hiccups in one of our guests. We had a little incident earlier, so she's not able to be here tonight. She was here last week. Her name is kind of hard to pronounce, but we hope that she'll be okay, and we just pray for her that wherever she is, that God will be with her, and she will be fine. And we're soon to expect another returning guest, which is Andrea Hampton. So she'll be logging on soon. So again, gentlemen, we're glad to be here. You know, we are a show, and we do believe that we want to affect families all over, and in a positive way. There are a lot of negatives around us, a lot of bad news. So given this platform, you know, we really want to do that. And we thank you for joining us for Let's Talk Relationships here on UME Radio, where we explore the dynamics and evolution of relationships, identify challenges, and offer perspectives through transformative conversations to promote strong, healthy family life and community. It's also important to us that you know that it is not our intention to offer opinions or advice on how you should live your personal life or how your personal relationship should be. Do your own research and make sure that you're doing well. You know, in life, we need to take personal responsibility for our future and so forth. So what we do today, the choice that we make today will definitely affect tomorrow. So as we look forward to a great show, I want to say a big thank you to all our partners, supporters, listeners, and viewers from all over the world. So we definitely here to have a good time. Officially, my name is DJ KTE, and it is now officially 9:07, and I'm happy to be here. We have two great guests tonight so far, and it is Steve Lawrence, and we have, I'll call him Doc Courtney Marsh. Morrison. Excuse me for that one. Yeah, so gentlemen, welcome. Welcome again.
Good to be back.
Yes.
Good to be back too in Jamaica. We're having a bull session.
Bull session, man. You know, I'll put testosterone here. Testosterone to kill. You know? But we're here. We're gonna make it happen. So as we're waiting one more guest, we're gonna just kind of move along and just see how the audience are gonna respond and see how it's gonna be engaged. But last week, Pastor Morrison, you left us with a real serious cliffhanger, man. You had me going. I was hanging on like, wait a minute, what happened here? Because then we had to go. But the last thing I remember, I heard machete. I heard machete and I heard hot oil. That's what I heard. And I was like, whoa, it's about to go down. So if you don't mind, I want to bring us back there. But before we do so, let's kind of introduce yourself to the audience again. Introduce to the audience and you as well as Lawrence, and then we can take it from there. I want to hear where it all ended up from where it started. So, is he frozen? He might be frozen. Yes, you can go right ahead and introduce yourself.
But yeah. One of the things I'm excited about, I really liked the topic for this week because figuring out expectations in relationships can really help us have relationships.
Yes.
I'd want us to not, you know, waste any time. I want us to really jump in.
Uh-huh.
You know, so let's see what our audience has to say and what your thoughts are, your questions. Let's get it going because that has so much potential if we develop it properly.
Yes, I think so too, because as last week, we zeroed in on, is jealousy ever a good thing in relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Now we have managing expectations.
Yep.
And you, as you know, I think it has probably one of been the biggest downfall, I think, in most relationships, pre-marriage and marriage, is having these expectations.
Mm.
And that are often unrealistic.
Yep.
You know, and expectations that you really have not even really talked about and really have even looked into on a deeper level. So here you are, you know, expecting like some man, she's a woman, she's from Jamaica, she can cook. Well, you don't know that, do you? right? She must be able to cook, or she must be able to clean, or she must be able to do this. You know, he's a man, he must be able to do this and do that, and you just don't know. So expectation is a real big crunch in relationships. So tell me something, until we have a guest, other guest comes in. You've been married for a number of years, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and tell me what it was like for you, as we talk about managing expectations. Where did you find that you had some surprises into pre-marriage, then marriage, and had to like do some adjustments, maybe early or late?
All right, so with me, you get the bonus because I've been married twice. This is my second marriage. Okay. So the first one, we didn't figure out the expectations. We had no clear expectations. We were doing what we were doing. That created so many problems because if you haven't acquired a target, it is so difficult to hit it, right? Wow. And if you have no real target, if you have no playbook,
yes,
it becomes a free-for-all and it becomes chaotic. So the second time around, one of the things that we did in our pre-marriage, our counseling, we didn't just lean to pastors, or we went the full spectrum. We did we did the psychologist, we did the Christian pastor, the Christian counselor, and the completely scientific based behavioral modification approach. And what we did was we looked at the fact that since we both had failed marriages before, it means that we contributed to these problems. We contributed to these failures. So this time around, we went in, we got the help.
Yes.
As we could get. And we were entering it saying, listen, you have the right to check me. You have the right to hold me accountable. Because at the end of the day, my biggest responsibility to my wife is to help us get to heaven, and her responsibility is to help me get to heaven, which is
heaven.
Because you'd be surprised how quickly your relationship can lead to your descent into hell.
Yeah. Oh goodness. You know that. You know what, Mr. Lawrence. You know, I like the point you made, because you know I've heard statistically that most people who have divorced and married again. Is a high percentage of those who get divorced again. I'm not sure that's your number that you got on your end of your own research. But I hear it a lot where those who have gotten divorced, that the percentage of who get divorced again after married again is actually pretty high. Higher than the ones who got married first. So maybe one of you guys, now gentlemen, can tell me about that. What's your take on that?
Well, Dr. Person might be able to give us some insights into the statistics, because I'm sure it is borne out differently in different populations, because the divorce statistics look completely different in the Western world than in some Eastern countries, where marriage is approached quite differently in terms of how courtship and how the decision is made. So I suspect socialization and culture
is a huge factor
and an impact on it. Dr. Okay.
I like that. That's interesting.
Yes, my system went down.
Yes, and you're back up, because you know what? You can't keep a good man down. No matter how you try.
Yes.
You cannot keep a good man down. So I know we left off when you were supposed to have given us just a little introduction about yourself and take us back to the cliffhanger that you left us off, drank last week, just dripping for the entire week. Couldn't wait to hear the other part of it.
Before I go to the panel, what Sir Lawrence just said is true, but mainly in the Western civilization, the divorce rate for someone who has been divorced and remarried is quite high. It's over 65% that they are going to become divorced again in the Western civilization. I don't know what the Eastern culture is like, but and if that person gets married a third time, then it goes all the way up to 85%. It's alarming that, you know, once I encountered a couple who wanted to get married, they went ahead, they got the marriage license, they came to me, and both were divorcees. Mm-hmm. They already had children from previous marriages. And so I asked the question, what would you do if the same difficulties that you encountered in your previous marriage arises in this second marriage? Would you run or would you stay to try to solve the solution, to solve the problem? And they came to me last year, April, and they're still not married to date.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Because it is something that you have to pay attention to. Just as Solange just said, unless you're going to come to a position of holding each other accountable, and you are mature enough that once accountability is brought into play, it's not a blame game. It is one where you are both responsible enough to say, yes, I was wrong. Yes, I should have done it differently. Then, as he said, it can become a quick descent into hell.
Wow.
Always and so we have to be very careful that we recognize that marriage doesn't solve all premarital problems.
Yes. Yes.
That once you get into marriage, once you get there, it has to become a problem-solving relationship. This happily ever after you get married is not, it's really a fairy tale. Marriage takes work. It really takes work. You know, somebody's putting on more weight than they should. Someone is losing hair where they shouldn't. Midlife crisis occurred. Mental issues. I didn't know that there was this family member who would see to. So many issues can arise.
Yes.
The children aren't doing what they're supposed to, or you are not treating them how I expected you to. And again, we come back to the issues of expectations. Right. Disappointment equals unmet expectations. And yes, DJ Katie.
Yeah, I like where you're going, but here's my point. I don't mean to cut you there, but something kind of jumped in me real quick. Is it the issue expectation, or is it having expectation but you don't have it balanced? You don't have it in the right perspective, because we should expect things from people or partner or spouse. By the way, welcome Andrea Hampton, good to have you. I see you might have had some issues there, but it's all worked out now and you're here.
Technical issues.
Yes. Thank you. So as I was saying, we should expect something. We can't just not expect. But how should we manage that expectation in terms of this? Okay, if this doesn't happen, what do I do? Or if I expect this to happen, like a man could expect a child, he wants to have a son. His grandfather has a son, his dad has a son, or he wants a son, but she's barren. She can't have babies. So how should you deal with those issues? Because it can be very, very hard and complicated.
It can be, but again, expectations are to be laid out. Unknown expectations, if unrealized, you can't necessarily hold someone accountable for something that you never spoke to before. And so that's one. And two, the expectation must also be realistic and feasible. You know, if I'm expecting Sir Lawrence to take me around the world, and yet our earning power can't even carry us from Negril to St. Mary.
It's unrealistic.
Got you.
So when we're talking about balance, the expectations are one that when both individuals look at them, they should be analyzed and an assessment made as to, are these expectations, can they really be met? Otherwise, they're going to be difficult. And some of these, premarital counseling should actually encompass a great deal of this as well. We find that a lot of persons do not have expectations laid out even before getting into the marriage. How many children do you expect to have? What method of contraception? Are we thinking children? You know?
Oh, okay.
Religious beliefs, whatever those are, family background in terms of I heard one person the other day called me, and I had to rush to that situation too. Mother was living with a couple, and the mother was the one who called me because she overheard her son, which is married to this lady, saying, "Hey, you know, I asked you to do one thing so that I could be pleased." And the son said, "Remind me what that one thing is." And the son said to his wife, "I asked you to get rid of your mother for her not to live with us anymore, and you still have not met that expectation."
Wow. Wow. That's interesting.
Yes. So yes. Expectations. Mm-hmm. Post marital counseling, persons who I married said 3 months later, we're doing a check-in 6 months later, just in case we forgot anything, up to 1 year. And then I say, okay, we may have covered some things that we may have overlooked as well.
Wow.
So it must be realistic, it must be known mm-hmm. for it to be realized. It must be authentic and genuine as well. Yeah.
Wow.
I rest here.
Oh yeah, there's more to come. There's more to come because I have some questions. But again, glad to have Andrea Anthony here again. She was with us last week, and we're gonna touch a little bit more on the jealousy thing that we started last week as well. This week we're talking about managing expectations, and that's also key component in a relationship. Tongue tied here, a key component in a healthy relationship. How you manage those expectations. So I think Ms. Anthony came at the right time because we didn't hear the cliffhanger from last week. So now you're going to hear the cliffhanger. We're going to have fun with that, I believe. But I know that one time we had a conversation, Ms. Anthony, and you really said something that really struck me. And you talk about your own experience with dealing with expectations and how you have grown to be wiser and you've gained understanding how to manage that more. Speak to us in that area. But first, you can reintroduce yourself to the audience, and you can go right ahead and share that with us. You want to check your
my mic.
There you go.
I apologize. Yes, my name is Andrea Hampton. I am a entrepreneur here in South Carolina. I have a nurse staffing firm here in Columbia, South Carolina. And as far as the managing expectations, what I've learned over the years is that it is best to not expect anything from people simply because we're all flawed, you know, including myself. You know, we're all flawed and we all come short when it comes to delivering what someone expects us to deliver to them. And I think it's a good thing to come into a relationship with some type of negotiation. You know, what is it that you need from me to make you happy? And how can we work together and come to a happy median and make each other, you know, exist together. I think, you know, a lot of expectations end up with people being disappointed.
Well, okay, I got to press you a little bit there because someone even said, best to have no expectations. I mean, so I'm going to press you a little bit there. And your brother can chime in as well. But Mr. Hampton, have no expectations sound very serious to me. I mean, wouldn't that let someone kind of go into that kind of cavalier kind of attitude, or maybe a little bit kind of just whatever? I mean, no push, no. Think about a man who doesn't want to work, or maybe he's working, and you both are working as married folks, and maybe the wife or the woman started to make a lot of money. And you say, well, wow, I mean, that's pretty good. And, you know, I can just probably chill, you know, a little bit here for a year or whatever it is and, you know, go fishing with the boys, you know, go, you know, hang out and do some sports. Would you expect them to work still if you're married? I mean, wouldn't that be part of what you, you know?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I shouldn't have said don't expect anything at all. You know, that, right. And I hate saying, you know, giving absolute, you know, okay. answers like that. And, you know, that's my fault. I shouldn't have said it like don't have any expectations, because we all want to give a level of accountability.
Okay.
To one another. Like, you're accountable for yourself and how you treat others. You know, you should definitely be accountable. What I mean by not having expectations is when people get to the point where life happens and, you know, we take on different roles in life, and sometimes one person may take on more than the other, and they're expecting some help. Look, help me. And the other person may not know, or, okay. And that's where, you know, we all come short, because sometimes we don't have this situational awareness that someone else may need help and in the process of life happening. So we can drop the ball when it comes to delivering our expected responsibilities to one another.
Okay. But you want to chime in? You want to chime in that Lawrence or Pastor Morris? You want to chime in that Lawrence?
Yeah, sure. I was slightly concerned when I heard that there weren't supposed to be any expectations. I'm like,
I'm sorry.
Miss Anthony, you scared us. I got scared.
Yeah, I got a bit scared. I was like,
oh, what? Lord.
Now that you've clarified, I think we're pretty much on the same page. We're human beings are targeted. Our nose points ahead of us. We tend to go after things that can be acted on and carried out once we figure out where we're heading. And usually, if we're unregulated by targets, we become quite chaotic. Human beings love targets and like measured targets, because there's circuits in our brains that get triggered and get rewarded when we accomplish the things we set out to do. Mm-hmm. However, one of the things I've observed in my own journey with relationships is that depending on the culture that you're in, the culture and the tradition sometimes can set you up for failure in relationships. Because as Sir Courtney said earlier, fantasies. I remember when I met my now wife, I simply said, I cannot give you a fairy tale. I will always give you reciprocity, but I don't do fairy tales, because these cartoons with the la-la-la and the prince and the knight in shining armor and all that, yeah, it's a nice animation, but in the complexities of two or more lives coming together, you're going to have an ongoing negotiation of what can we do together? Can we walk together? Can we journey together? And it must also be an expectation that if it is not going to be possible without far too much chaos, it's not a prison. You should be able to say, this is not working out for us. Let us head separate ways. So the expectation is, do your best to be supportive and assertive and affirming. I will do the best by you. However, if we do find out that it is not something that we can journey along together and keep each other whole, let us love and respect each other enough to separate. Mm-hmm. And that's very important, because a lot of people see relationship as this one-way street where you head down it, you're tied in it, you have to be in it. And I think that might also be driving the Western statistics as it relates to divorce. Because in the Western world, you have a choice. This does not work for me. I can become separated. In some other cultures, the marriages are bringing together our families. It's an investment way beyond just the two people.
That's
how you transition assets. It's how you build and build alliances. And So it becomes a far more complicated thing than in the Western world, where you can say, if we can't walk together, let us separate.
No, well, well, listen to me. Well, I go deeper in that. If I don't like your nose, I'm out. You know, I mean, there are people who get divorced, Pastor Morrison, for some of the silliest things you'd ever imagine.
They shouldn't be in a relationship.
Yeah, and it happens.
Can I tell you about a case that I had that you would think it would be so trivial? But before I tell you about the case, I just want to say one of my third things about expectations. And in response to what Lady Hampton says,
yes.
The third thing I want to say is expect disappointment.
Yep.
Okay.
Remember, disappointments are unmet expectations, but therefore expect unmet expectations. Although they need to be real and attainable and feasible, and although we have to bear accountability, expect disappointments. Wow. Be prepared. Do not fear them. Work to resolve them. But in the case of the divorce, I probably shouldn't have gone there. Now I'm losing track of what you asked or what you were saying.
Uh-huh.
But we really need to stop and think. I love what Sir Lawrence says. I mean, in the Eastern tradition with emperors and kings and queens and all, the kingdom is maintained even by marriage, where a prince has to marry a princess. You know, you're not going to marry a pauper or someone else who's a peasant. Mm-hmm. You don't have that necessarily happening in the Western end of life. In terms of expectations, again, mm-hmm. they're for some persons, even if they're not even expectations, they're not even necessarily expected to love the individual you're going to get married to.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In some of these Eastern traditions, as I said, it's about a dynasty. It's about, you know, mm-hmm. ensuring a perpetuation of what we would call the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so it is totally different in truth and in fact. We continue to focus on our end here in Jamaica, United States of America, mm-hmm. religious belief in terms of Christian belief. And we're talking about staying in it. And again, I believe marriage is one that should be problem-solving oriented as the issues occur on expectation. How can we sit and dialogue
mm-hmm.
to an end? Again, divorce comes when we talk about irreconcilable differences. At least at one stage of life, it was that. These days, the silliest thing, I remember what it is, one of the most silliest cases I've ever encountered is a husband and a wife who has been married for many years. The mm-hmm. husband would come in, he would sit in his sofa, take off his shoes, put up the newspaper, read. The wife would come, she'd pick up the pair of shoes, put them out on the veranda, and, mm-hmm. you know, serve him whatever he wants. And she did so for 3 years. And then one day she says to the husband, this is truth, by the way, this is real. This is not a fairy tale, I'm telling you. She says to the husband,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can put the shoes on outside though, they smell bad. And he looked at her and responded, you have never complained. And it became an argument, it became physical, and it became grounds for the divorce.
Wow.
Pair of shoes that, I mean, she never complained about for 3 years. And she just said, hey, after 3 years, you know, you can put them outside and they're not smelling good. And he took offense at that. A pair of shoes, wow. A pair of smelly shoes led to divorce. Can you imagine?
Wow.
That's
wow.
one of the cases that to date, I'm still amazed at, but it ended up becoming physical.
Wow. You know, one of viewers says, when I think about jealousy, it's a result of unrealistic expectations. So I guess we're going to touch a little bit more on jealousy in a minute. But Andrew Hampton, talk to us a little bit here. As young as you look, as I know you have a lot of wisdom, and you're telling us, walk us through the process of you understanding how to manage expectation to when you weren't able to manage it. Tell us, what are some of the things that you did? Whether you went to counseling, whether you did self-introspect, whether you had a good pastor or good women around you. How did you transition from that point in your life, being a young woman who had this kind of, you know, fairy tale kind of thing, opposed to now becoming centered, having the wisdom? How can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, a lot of things within my environment helped me to process the management of expectations. You know, of course, my own life disappointments played a part in me learning, and also my failures in life helped me to learn how to manage overall a lot of things in my life. But the management of expectations, I learned to process it in many different ways, because there are many different scenarios you can come up with when it comes to people being disappointed. People can disappoint you intentionally, and people can disappoint you unintentionally, where it's nowhere near their fault. You know, okay, I go out on a date, the food is cold. The guy meant for me to have a wonderful dinner. That was nothing of his doing that the food was cold, you know, but I was disappointed. He was disappointed. But the fact of the matter is, there are disappointments where it is intentional. Someone's doing something intending to hurt you and disappoint you. And you have to look at it. Was this intentional? You have to ask the question, was it intentional? You know, you have to, you know, it's different scenarios. So me managing that is just taking a closer look at, was this intentional or was it unintentional? And dealing with the fact of, you know, if it's not intentional, then, you know, you can, of course, be at peace with the person that's trying to please you or trying to satisfy you, versus someone who's who doesn't have your best interests at heart. And
so you would say that you've shifted from looking outward to more looking inward.
Oh, inward. Definitely.
So was that really about, did that came about by you having discussion with other women, other people who were, who gave you wisdom, or was that just your own personal awakening or your own personal illumination?
Yeah, it was a lot of my own personal, you know, looking within, because we have to look within in order to make a decision on what we're going to tolerate.
Okay.
You know, if we tolerate disappointment and the disappointment is intending to disappoint you from the person that you love, then you have to look in within yourself and say, am I worth, what is my worth? Do I deserve to be disappointed like this? Or is this this view of myself, how do I respect myself? And you've got to look within and actually ask yourself, do you feel as if you deserve being disappointed and being mistreated? Some people, you know, they feel like they deserve whatever they get, which is a sad thing when it comes to
that. Which leads me to another question. I want all of you to address this question here, because it seems like we're in a culture now where is this idea that once you're not happy, get out. You know, this, it's like you're gonna all be happy. This kind of this hyper happiness I'm getting. And it's like, if you're not happy, just leave, get divorced. You know, walk away, don't deal with it. So, but I hear it's very, very common. I'm telling you, I was surprised when hearing that. It's like this thing called long suffering and forbearing and you know, going through the painness of sometimes of life and going through a process that all parents did, and they stayed together until they became very happy. You know, so please, Dr. Marison, Lawrence, how would you address this thing that people are always talking about, if you're not happy, get out? It seems to be so common and so cavalier that it concerns me.
Boy, it's a complex one, because until you've been in this situation,
yeah,
no one really understands your reality. And what you find is that in many of the older relationships, what kept them together was not even love. Mm-hmm. Some people were more concerned about how it appeared to the neighbors, to the church community, to their relatives. So they were more concerned about keeping up the image than the even pursuit of happiness. And what we have to engender, especially as we parent our children, parent your children in a way that they will be a suitable partner for somebody to be in a partnership and relationship with. But also teach them, as Lady Hamilton said earlier, I hope I got that name correctly. You have to know your worth. Everybody brings value. Mm-hmm. So when you listen to Pastor earlier sharing about that divorce, it was because a person did not value, there was not equity in that relationship. I recently did a counseling session with a couple who went through divorce, and surprisingly, the divorce was based on the man felt he had the right to have additional partners. Mm-hmm. The female had grown close to a co-worker, and he was not going to have it, even though he clearly had other partners. I'm like, you know, at one point I was trying to get him to see himself, and I was like, so let's look at it now. Let's reverse the roles. Would you be happy as a wife with a husband bringing other people into marriage? He was not happy, but he was okay being the husband who would do such a thing. So you begin to realize also, you can't assume that everybody is at the stage of maturation to even be a part of a relationship.
Right.
Research will tell you that if you don't get a child properly oriented and socialized by the age of 4, it is almost impossible for the rest of his life. Oh, so you have a lot of,
I thought it was 7. He's right there.
Because usually, you know, you can, if you let a child go on a playground, in almost no time a child has friends. Right? It doesn't matter where they come from. You let them go on a playground, they start. The child that you cannot orient to play with other children by the age of 4, you watch that child. Because for the rest of their lives, they will be the difficult co-workers, husbands, wives, the unequitable partners in partnerships. Wow. So it's really complex, and we have to figure out where our value really lies. Are we more concerned about the appearance of happiness, or doing what keeps us whole? Because what keeps you whole sometimes and saves your life means that you need to run faster than Usain Bolt, or you have to run sometimes.
You know what? I have a true story here. True story, Pastor Marson. I remember this young lady I really liked, really fancied her.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, after, you know, just hoping and praying, she finally gave me a chance, you know, let me know world. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm going to work. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make it happen here. So I eventually went to, you know, I got an invitation to go to a movie. I said, great. This is exciting. So, of course, I went to her house, and I'm being the man I am. I went asking for her address or even apartment number. I'm waiting inside the car until she tell me when and how to come, if she wants to. I guess I did my job. I did well. She liked that. Next time around, I actually went out to her, and she went to a movie. But I drove her car to the movie. But here was the issue. She thought, as a man, I'm supposed to know how to drive and have good sense of direction, which I don't. Audience, don't tell nobody this. It's our secret. I really don't have good sense of driving direction. I really don't.
And nobody will ever know.
Exactly. Just don't say it's a secret, okay?
That's true.
And so I went to a garage, and I parked. Miss Andrea, I couldn't find my way. to where I needed to go. And she was depending on me, the man, to get her to the movie. Okay, I'm like,
lead her.
Yes, you know, lead. And she wanted me to lead her. But the only mistake I made, Mr. Morrison, I didn't tell her that I'm not good at this. I was trying to do it, knowing very well I was messing up.
Oh,
and
no.
And so that was the problem. I should have said, honey, you know, I'm not the one at this point. I can drive you there. I got you there, but now I'm lost. Anyway, it was a disaster. And then I went to the movie night theater to watch a movie. I saw comedy. She saw something else. And to make a long story short, after the first 5 minutes of the movie, she walked out and said, no, this is not my type of movie. She left. Like, oh, man. Oh, man. I just spent $50. I said, $50. Not 50. $50, you know? And it just, we walked out. No movie, and I lost my direction. Now, to a woman, that can be very, very serious. And for a man, it can be very traumatic. I was traumatized, honestly. You know, so, again, it goes back again to expectations. And, again, not having the conversations. I like what Lauren says. And I think it's important that, you know, we don't go for the image, how it looks. You know, you make a very important point, because a lot of people who stayed together really did it because they, it was more or less how it looked to other people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about how they really felt. True. So a lot of people died in pain, in secrecy. Yep. They died in, you know, in stress and quietness. And then you never know the real story. And it was never a good thing. I went to funeral quickly just this past week. I kept hearing everyone saying she didn't tell anybody she was sick. No one knew what was going on with her. And it was being hailed as a great thing. I'm like, I don't think so.
No.
She was stressed, as with a young woman. But everyone was saying no one knew. She didn't tell anybody. She helped everyone out. She was always there to help somebody and bring in a stranger. But any problems were never known. She didn't tell anybody about her problems, issue. So, you know, again, this is a very important topic. I want to chime back to last week where we left off with Dr. Morrison and that relationship again, how traumatic it was. And I am only hear how it ended, because that was a very powerful story there with the couple.
All right, Kim. I just want to touch something you said too, because we tend to overlook, like what you just said, gender expectations. What is it that the male is expected and the female is expected to do in a relationship? Socioeconomic backgrounds. I remember a family who two sons went to wash the dishes one day, and the father punished them severely. He told them that was for the female to do, and sisters, by no means should they have touched the plate to wash them. Wow. And so even expectations in terms of what we bring as men or women to relationships need to be examined carefully, because you may have an expectation as a man, you should be the one driving. I'm in the car, and I know a situation where both partners have their driver's license. But again, I guess it's seen as chivalrous, where if the man is in the car, he drives, and the young lady will insist, as long as there's a man in the car, he's the one going behind the steering wheel. So expectations are like that. And one other thing before I touch that story, as I sat and I looked at the issue of jealousy, something came to me, that jealousy is a coin that has two different sides. One side called ignorance, lack of knowledge, on the other side, knowledge. For me, I remember my wife, I went to an all-boys school, she went to a co-educational school, and when we were dating, her male friends would come hug her and give her a peck on the cheek. Now, I was boiling and bubbling on the inside and saying, I was ready to push away anyone and everyone that came there, not recognizing out of that this is how they related at an all-boys school. And so the jealousy boiled up in me. A knowledge perspective can be that we're in a relationship and you're treating, it is my knowledge that you're treating your job even far more and giving it far more attention than you even give to me and become jealous even of something like your job, the job that you're employed in. And so we need to be careful. But these two persons know where we had the cliffhanger last week. One person is thought to be in a relationship. The other one, it is not known whether or not. But the gentleman called me and he was waiting for her to get home. He had a machete, a cutlass, under the bed because he was going to actually do surgery, quote unquote. He was going to cut her in pieces. And she called me the same day without him knowing to tell me that she was waiting for him to go to sleep a little later, that she's going to pour hot oil in his ear.
Goodness grace. Wow.
This is a relationship that was going for at least 15 years, marriage relationship, to be exact. Wonderful children in the relationship, 1, 9, 1, 7 years old, two children, a boy and a girl. And what I did, I called one of the deacons from my church in the parish that they live. I had to come all the way from where I was, two parishes further along. It was going to take me almost an hour to get there. And I asked for him to do me a favor. I'm going to tell both persons to come there, not knowing that they're coming there. But they are good friends of this particular deacon. I got there, one person came, we sat and were talking until they saw the other individual coming, and the other person tried to leave, and the wife of the deacon blocked that individual and said, "You're not going anywhere. We're going to sit and talk."
And talk.
And out of that discussion, that relationship is still alive today, 7 years later, even though both I'd come to a position of wanting to actually and made plan, premeditated that they were going to kill the other individual. That when we stopped and asked, what was the root of why you wanted to get rid of the other? And both of you were planning, unknown to the other, that you were planning to get rid of the other. It's quite a very dangerous situation. But these two are still living together. I don't know. I just think that was God.
Yeah.
Because naturally, persons like that, you're going to even want them to stay in the same room, much as the same house, or even within 200 yards of each other.
Wow.
But it was true. They were angry. They were upset about even expectations that were not met. Getting into the workplace, you are not leading as you should. You are not being the wife you should. And we went through that. We checked up on them week after week until it just became month after month, at least a year and a half. And amazingly, this is one of those success stories that I can say.
Yes, I definitely see that. I definitely see that on Pastor Morrison. That's a great, 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 great ending because there are many marriages that have gone the other way, you know?
Yes.
Where we've heard the stories on the news and these sad situations. But, you know, it's funny. I picked up on something that Ms. Hampton said earlier. And as she mentioned about expectations. And what I heard was that as much as we have expectations, the key is that we're dealing with another human being.
Yep.
And I think sometimes we forget. I think we kind of superfly each other a little bit too much sometimes. You know, we really are all broken in some way, trauma, and some have done well to have actually gone and gotten help. Some maybe they had a good pastor, someone to speak into their lives. Some really to prayer, much prayer and much humility. I think that's a major part. Humility is a major component in growing. Because I just said, you know, when a child develops from 4 or 5, they're set in their ways. How do you then change at 25 or 30 when you've been molded in a certain kind of thinking or way? So we see where the humility is a big part of, you know, if I want to make this thing work, how much can I negotiate? How much can I be reasonable? You know, the reasonable thing. And of course, a big part of my own personal thing that I've used, and maybe you can attest to that as well, is that I was messed up, but the Lord loved me, the Creator loved me enough to deal with my mess, my stuff that I had, those who things that only him and I know about. And he actually gave me grace in those things. So how much should I give someone a little grace when they're at fault, when they're falter? You know? So that's not where I try to get the connection there.
Forgive those.
Yes. So I mean, I'm loving this conversation. I'm hearing some feedback here in the crew here, call it these viewers. Sutton Brown said, "Well said." Well, thank you for that. And so these are things that we need to have these kind of conversations. It may seem simple. I mean, it's funny because last week I was kind of having a little fun with what God gave us. I went on Pandora. I went on TuneIn. I went on TuneU to see if we were there. I just did it just for the day. I went on High Art Radio. I went on a couple others. I'm like, wow, this is actually, we're actually here. People are hearing us, you know? And I'm really excited about the fact that, you know, we can have women like you and men like you with wisdom, and you've had the experience to come and share with the audience. I'm telling you, the mails are coming in, the response are coming in. You'd be surprised how much people have been moved by these conversations. We don't hear that a lot, and we need to hear more of it. Some are from the United States, some from the Europe, some from the Caribbean. But here we are, like a melting pot, or it's a salad bowl, you know? We just kind of just chewing over and just molding over and just bringing out substance in these things. Love what Pastor Martin said. You know, he made a call. He had a conversation. That's a beautiful thing. You know, and I remember days when I went to counseling myself, and it was about having the conversation. You know, it was hard to continue when we left the counseling session, but it was a very nice feeling when we could actually, you know what, I'm hearing you now, and you're hearing me. That's actually felt kind of good. We're not, you know, screaming at each other, you know? So it's really awesome. We don't have long to go, but I really want each of you to speak to just the audience in your own way. On managing expectation and managing jealousy. Just something that you feel strong in your spirit that you want to just connect with the audience and share with them. Start with Miss Andrea Anton.
That's a good question. Managing jealousy and
yes,
managing expectations. Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
We have 2 minutes. Give it like 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
Always know that you are first and foremost. You're flawed. look within and say, you know, okay, I'm flawed. I know I'm not perfect. Why should I expect perfection from someone else?
Wow.
You know. Just be patient and understanding with people. You know, jealousy can come from, you know, the fear of losing. So just try to work with that and be patient with that person. And managing what expectations, I would say have accountability. Be accountable for your own actions and help someone to place accountability within themselves too.
Wow. Thank you. Well said. Lawrence, in 30 seconds.
Reciprocity. Do what you'd like to be done for you. Think about the other person as an individual who has the same rights, the same heart, the same, may have different broken parts, but you're supposed to come together and be a safe space for the other person to grow and heal. And I think if we approach it in that way, we'll do a lot of growing and healing together, and we'll have much healthier relationships. Pastor Morrison.
Yes. Pastor Morrison, you got 31 seconds, sir. I think it's frozen.
Well, since he's frozen, reciprocity.
Let's
Bible couplings and stilettos. you have to start clean. It's almost like cleaning house, you know. A lot of people, I'm doing my spring cleaning, I'm doing my summer cleaning. Well, it's the same with your life. You got to get that toxic out. When you have truly walked with Christ, I'm not saying we're not going to make mistakes because we're flawed, but it's just something you're just not going to do.
I learned about the Bible and got in church when I was 40 years old. And I was like a, if you will, a virgin, a child, trying to figure this all out. Where did we come from?
Good evening. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for joining me again, Dr. Wanda Thomas, with another episode of Bible Cufflinks and Stilettos. You're actually in my home and you're going to, I'm holding my dog right now. And I'm sorry for going off script because she may bark trying to get my attention. So I just want you all to be aware of that. I'm petting her to keep her calm. Okay, so you may see something run past the camera. That's just my little Tugger. That's my baby, my best friend. With that said, my purpose is to empower people with self-mastery and abundance of life. I like to bring the Bible, if you will, or scripture, how to use it to your in your everyday life, practice it, let it be a challenge for you. We always, we quote the Bible, we quote scriptures, we always blessing others, and we always saying that we're blessed. So now let's put it to the test. My topic today is on fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." But before we get started, please just hit that notification button, that bell, for any for new uploaded videos. So it said, "Hey, pup." I know it's terrible. I'm not in the office tonight, so I'm home and she fights for my attention. Well, with that said, the topic is on fear. Let me give you a quick recap, that scripture that I quoted, because again, I want to be able to, each week I come forth, I want to be able to give a scripture. But, you know, I want to let it, I want it to mean something in your everyday life, something where you can utilize it for today. If I talk about what happened 2,000 years ago, someone will say, "Well, you know, okay, well, what that got to do with me today?" You know, that was then. How can I use scripture today to make me feel encouraged, to make me feel good? That's what God did for Joshua. That's what God did for Solomon. That's what God did for Noah. That's what God did for this and did for that. But you know what, guys? He's the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. What he did for them all, he's going to do, he's doing it, and he has done it for us as well, from the foundation, from the earth, from the foundation of the earth, and before the beginning of the world. We have the same love. So Paul was telling Timothy, his young comrade, about the love of Jesus. He was saying how his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice was so loving, and that he too have the same love that in him, He has the same love that they had. He's talking about Jesus. We can't love without Jesus. Although we do, although we say, I love you, but I don't like what you've done. I love you, but I can't be with you. I love you. A lot of times, these things that we talk about, the love, the doubt, the fear, even love can be fear. That's why people operate in the matter of that, in the matter that they do when they're discouraged, when they're petty, when they're discomfort, unconsciously. And consciously, we all operate in fear. I don't care how big our Bibles are. I don't care how much we pray. I don't care how much we say we're a prayer warrior. We all have fear in us, and we say we don't. We are a liar. I'm not going to lie. I have fear, and I'm sure others do too. Every time I'm getting ready to take on a new project, or every time I'm getting ready to do something different, something new, we want to do our best. We want to do our best. So how do we challenge? How do we handle fear? What can we do to change that fear? That fear can come from a promotion at your job, believe it or not. Some people may not want a promotion. Do you ever hear somebody not wanting a promotion? There are some people who are complacent. They are happy where they are. There are people who are afraid of losing their family. There are people afraid of losing the respect of their coworkers. That's fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind. So, guys, you know, fear is not just, you can be fearful. I know people who's afraid of the dark. I like sleeping in the dark. I cut everything off. I love sleeping in the dark. I can't sleep with the light on. I used to, but because I had a lot of fear. I don't have that fear like that anymore. The things that used to bother me doesn't bother me anymore. But I'm not saying I have arrived, and I'm not saying there's things that I can improve on. We all can. We're flawed. The sister had just said, Adrian Hamilton had just said something. I was just looking at a clipping of the last show, and you know, we have to fear, you know, having fear, we have to recognize who we are if we want to conquer that fear. If you don't know who you are, you're never going to conquer that fear. Let me give you a scripture from 2 Corinthians says, in 10:4 says, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. You know, somebody, okay, again, here you are, you know, Wanda, you know, you're quoting scripture. What does that mean for me now? How can I utilize that today? Well, what is strongholds? It's according to the Bible, it's your imagination. You are what you eat. You are what you think. You have to start changing the way that you think. You have to start renewing your mind. There's not one scripture in the Bible that cannot help us. But if you just look at it from an old book and religious and just preachy, if you look at it from that perspective, then yes, you're not going to get anything from it. But that's why I want to come from a practical perspective. I want to help you and myself, because through folks' testimonies, through people's struggles, it can help someone else if you want to be helped. So how do we deal with this fear? You have to first recognize, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? It can be many things. It can be multiple things. I'm not going to lie. I have my little fear and doubt, but the beauty is, how do you handle it? I like to look at the cup half full instead of half empty. I like to flip the script. I like to change the scenario. Whatever is going on in my life, whatever is going on in my life, whatever it may be, I can take that situation. It can be an ugly situation. It can be a petty situation. It can be something I've done or something someone else done or something someone done to me or something I've done to them. I can take that situation and flip it around, and how can I make it for my good? Fear will have you do some crazy things. It'll have you doubting your potential, your ability to grow. It will have you fear the dark too, lack of free. It'll have you fear multiple things at one time where you're pulling your hair out because you don't know which way to go. You're so frantic and rigid. Fear will do that. Fear give you a stroke. Fear will raise your anxiety. Fear will stress you because you don't know which way to go, which way to turn. When you got your back up against the wall, you don't know what to do next. Instead, you'll come out fighting, whether it's physical, mentally, however you want to put it. Fear will put you in that state of mind. Uh-oh, she's getting a little restless. She's doing good because I'm holding her. If I let her roam, you will be hearing her bark, fussing with me, trying to get my attention. Yes, I'm sorry, guys. My dog is a distraction. I'm normally in the office, but I am home. Come on, Poogie. So I'm sorry, guys. So again, fear, how do we channel our fear? You have to find the good. You have to find the good in yourself. You have to find the good in others. You have to find the good in what you can do. You have to find the good in life. You got to find the good in people. You have to find the good in everything that you do. That's how we conquer fear. It's easy to be ugly. It's easy to be hateful. It's easy to fear does those things. Fear make you petty. Fear make you do all sorts of things that is unnormal, actually. That's not who we are. We are a spiritual creature. So when we are behaving or misbehaving in a manner that is not godly, just think about fear. Think about what the challenges of life. That's what the challenges of life will bring. That will give you, challenge of life will give you fear. It will instill that in you. Guys, I want you to focus on those things that will build you up. And you know who does that? Jesus. Jesus. I'm going to always promote Jesus in all that we do, all that I say. Jesus is always going to be rolling off my lips. You know why? Because I had a lot of fear in my lifetime. I had a lot of fear. I didn't know who I was. Didn't know what I wanted to do. And now that I know who I am, now that I know what I want to do, now I know who I am and going to do it, I don't have that fear in that area. But I do have other fears as I'm constantly growing and building. I constantly learn how to do different things as I grow. As I meet other people with opportunities and they offer me certain positions and they offer me and sharing informations that I have to learn and study and research on just to catch up, my anxiety kicks in because I want to do my best. I want to do my best. Your fear may be your losing respect of your family, losing your relationship, losing your husband, wife. You got to ask yourself, and all of these fears that you have, you got to ask yourself, why do you have this fear? Why are, you know, you're going through all of these different ups and downs? You have to ask yourself, how do I get out of it? How do I come out of those fears? I'm fearful that I'm going to lose my job. I'm fearful I'm going to lose my mate. I'm fearful I'm going to lose the respect. I'm fearful I'm not going to get this. I'm fearful I'm not going to get that. I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid. When we walk around paranoid, we do. We walk around paranoid because fear will bring that to you. How do you overcome fear? What do you need to do? Only you know your situation. When it comes to me, my fears, I challenge them. I challenge them head first. That's how I deal with my fear. Now, keep in mind, I don't do it alone, though. I don't challenge them alone. I put Christ first. That's the only way that I come out of a lot of obstacles, that I climb over a lot of obstacles, because I put God first. Not always. I'm not always putting him first. And when I don't put him first, guys, I promise you, I always fail. I always fail. Or now I'm worried about, okay, how I'm going to get out of this. And I have to learn every day. It's a constant study, a constant struggle. Every day I'm learning how to be better. Every day I'm learning to pick up the mantle, share it, my testimonies, how I came out of a situation. You all have to also do the same thing. What is your fear? You have to ask yourself that. When you find out what that fear is, then, only then, you can conquer it. Because we walk around with a lot of toxic in us. It was in us from birth. We was born as a sinner. We were born in a sinful world. And we have toxic before we became Christians. I think I mentioned last week that I wasn't brought up in a church like most people. I wasn't brought up in a church. My family, we just weren't church going folks. I learned as an adult about the Bible and faith and all of this, as I had called it back then, all of this religious stuff. You know, that's how I talked about it. All this religious stuff. Come on, Boopy. Come on, sit down, baby. Come on. I'm sorry. Say hi, pumpkin. Say hi. Oh, Lord. I'm going to let her down, guys. I think she's getting restless. I hope she doesn't bark and make a lot of noise. But I'm going to let her go do her thing, or she won't leave me alone. She's very needy. It's only just me and her, so I give her a lot of attention. So forgive me with the distraction. But nevertheless, fear will hinder you. Fear will paralyze you. Until you understand fear, to get through fear, you must understand who you are. To understand who you are, you must know who Jesus is. And once you know Jesus, you cannot fail. Your fear and all of that other stuff that's in you will go away. With work, we walk by faith, not by sight. With work, you can do anything. All things work together through Christ who strengthens us. You got to remember that. We walk around and we quote, this is how I get through my fears. I get through fear and many other things in my lifetime. I get through them by, again, when I'm afraid, when I'm scared, I'm discouraged, I'm petrified. I find a quote, if you will, that is going to help me. I find a quote that's going to help me get through complicated situations. I find a good moment. Find a good moment in your life. Guys, I want to bring practicality to you all. I'm not trying to get all theologian. I'm not trying to get all religious. I'm just coming to you, one woman to another, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, just talking about life. We all have challenges. And Lord knows, I pray that my testimonies help. I pray that my testimonies help people, because if you listen to my story and you listen to my episodes I'm gonna be coming forth with, I'm telling you really a lot about me. I haven't gotten, if you will, down and dirty, because I'm getting comfortable, and I want my audience to be comfortable. I want you to feel me, if you will. I want you to get comfortable with me. I'm transparent. My friends and family who knows me, they know that I'm a nurturer. I'm a loving person. We all have our flaws and our ways, but one thing about me, I love people. I love what I do, and I try to do my best in everything that I do. And mainly, I try to help anyone that comes in my path. I try to illuminate them. I try to innovate them. I try to inspire them. Whatever it takes, no matter how messed up they are, I still try to find the best in them. I really do. I look at the cup half full. That is my motto. Anyone who knows me, that is my motto. I look at the cup half full and not half empty, because I try to find the best in everyone. I do. I try to find the best in everyone. And I assure you, I wasn't always like this. That's what Jesus will do when you walk with him, when you walk with him and you talk with him. That's what he will do to your life. He will change you. Guys, I challenge you, if you seek thee first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be added unto you. I promise you, your life will change. If you're lacking a job, if you're lacking monies, if you're lacking self-esteem, if you're lacking motivation, whatever you're lacking, God will change that. But you have to make the first move. You have to take the first move. I challenge you, seek God. You cannot lose. You will not lose. You won't lose. Seek God first. Oh my God, he is waiting. He said, if you trust in me in all your ways, lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge him, he will direct your path. Seek him, guys. He loves you. You can never go wrong. I pray that this message was rewarding to some, inspired. I'm just sharing just practical way of living. This topic was on fear. I want you to conquer your fear by looking at the cup half full instead of half empty. Mainly, I want you to seek God. Thank you, guys, for another evening, spending another evening with me. I pray this was rewarding and inspiring. God bless you, and you have a blessed night. Until next week, bye-bye.
Helping to make dreams become a reality. That is her mission. Today, we are here to introduce you to a phenomenal woman of God, an ordained minister, counselor, speaker, licensed wedding officiant, a certified chaplain. She holds a doctorate in theology, master's in pastoral counseling and divinity, and a bachelor's in psychology, along with certifications in Christian counseling, mental health, adolescent behavior, and family counseling. So I'd like to speak to you a little about your work with families and couples. When I visited your website, greatwisdomunlimited.com, so that leads me to ask you, how important is family counseling and who should seek it?
The importance of family counseling is very important. That should be priority, and I'm going to speak from just being my being an Afro-American, Black African-American person, right? We out here, I'm going to speak only in my small circle, because I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world, but I know in my circle, my immediate family, my immediate friends, and the friends I've known over the years, they don't do counseling. That's just a fact. I can only speak from my small circle. They don't do counseling. And because I practice counseling now, this is what I stress to them. You need counseling. You need to seek someone. Someone who can be objective. Someone mm-hmm. you can vent. A speaking board, if you will. They will hear you with no bias, no prejudice behind it. Because they don't know you. Like when you go to your friends and your family, they know you. They're going to give you their opinion. They're going to give you their advice. And if they are doing this, who are these folks? What's your life doing so good that I even should listen to you? And a lot of times, their life is not even, they're not even doing what they're advising. Mm-hmm. So be careful. Go to that stranger. Go to that stranger and sit. Because that's what we are. We're mediators. We see what the other person don't. We are outside looking in.
Yeah, if someone is listening right now and they are thinking about getting premarital or family counseling, but they have doubts, what would you say to them?
Well, again, I am a woman of God, and the Spirit leads me in everything that I do. And the beautiful thing about what I do, my counseling is based around the Bible. I can't do it, and neither can I. I don't care what your skill sets and how awesome you may think you are. Mm-hmm. It is the Spirit of God that covers it all for us all. I'm here to listen, be that listening board. Think, mm-hmm. if you will, yell, scream. I may even give you a punching bag if we're in person. Punch the bag. Mm-hmm. Get it out. Now, once you get all of that out and clear the air and get all of that pollution out, now, how do you feel and where do we start?
Indeed. So my final question is, how does someone book your services?
Call me up. Go to my website. Send me an email. You can text me. You can call me. Wherever floats your boat, everybody is into the device.
You can contact Dr. Wanda Thomas at great, and that's GR8WisdomUnlimited@yahoo.com. GreatWisdomUnlimited@yahoo.com. On LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and at GR8WisdomUnlimited.com. Or you can call at 1-732-900-7362. That's 1-732-900-7362. Or email us at info@umeradio.com. Until next time, I'm Trisha Gay Kelly.
Hey America, this is Chaplain Wanda Thomas. Listen to Wanda Road to Success with Great Wisdom Unlimited every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time during the Gospel Connection on WNJRradio.com, America's hottest web radio experience. This web radio program offers you information and tools that will help you to become empowered with skills for successful life outcomes. With so many different ways you can listen, you're going to love the way you sound. And now we're on Alexa. Just say, Alexa, play WNJR. Be blessed and get connected to us.
Bible, couplings, and stilettos. You have to start clean. It's almost like cleaning house. You know, a lot of people who I'm doing my spring cleaning, I'm doing my summer cleaning. Well, it's the same with your life. You got to get that toxic out. When you have truly walked with Christ, I'm not saying we're not going to make mistakes because we're flawed, but it's just something you're just not going to do.
I learned about the Bible and got it changed when I was 40 years old. And I was like a, if you will, a virgin, a child, trying to figure this all out. Where did we come from?
The name of my book is Reborn. And Reborn is a story, a personal story about my journey from a place of despair to fulfilling God's purpose in my life. I have gone through a lot of challenges, a lot of, things that happened to me in my childhood all the way to my adulthood. And the Lord impressed on my heart to write my story, to share with others, because, you know, one thing about me, I'm transparent. And I believe when you share your testimony is to help somebody else get out of their situation, because a lot of us go through a lot of changes, a lot of challenges in life. Especially I grew up in the church world, a very strict environment, very religious environment, and it had a lot of stressors in my life. I didn't know who I was as a little girl. You know, I grew up with parents, my father was a pastor, and I was totally lost in this church world. I didn't know who I was, or if I was worth anything, or if I had any type of purpose in life. So my vision about God was so warped, because I never thought God loved me the way they presented it. So I was a very lonely young lady. I had a lot of low self-esteem. So I was just really trying to maneuver and to find my way, through life. So it was God who helped me through the process, even though I wasn't focusing on him as much. I want to share something, and chapter 2, page 17, Forsaken. I just want to read a little excerpt of it. And it says, in 1975, as I attended middle school and the family moved to a large four-bedroom apartment building, was that this situation, things began to worsen for me. For instance, I was punished a lot. At times, I never understood why. My father never believed that the Christian told lies. For instance, if someone from the church would report to him that they saw me somewhere and was doing something wrong, I would deny it. However, I would be told that I was a liar and received the beating for it. So I became so tired of constantly being blamed and beaten for situations where I didn't have any idea. So I tried harder to be good, but notice each time I tried, it wasn't enough. And I realized that each time I would speak things, my mother would tell me to be quiet. And after a while, she developed a resentment to me. And, so I struggled a lot to be a part of a family. I struggled a lot to be seen. I struggled a lot to be loved. And this book is to help others who are struggling to find out who they are and find out their identity and who they are in God and whose they are, because it's so important to find who you are, you find yourself, because once you know who you are and knows whose you are in God, your life changes, and then you're on a path where you're evolving and growing and building, and you are increasing in self-esteem. And the more you understand yourself, is the better you are how to handle situations in your life, and even handle people, to work with people and to really learn how to be empathetic, learn how to, reach out in some way, shape, or form, and to be where, can be there in the moment with that person, because you understand where they're coming from, because you see a lot of what they're being challenged with is the same thing that you were dealing with in the past. So when God delivered me, I was able to share this story in order to help others to heal. I'm coming from a place of darkness. you know, a new me came forth, you know, and I'm like, God, this is a powerful title, you know, because it sends a message, you know, that when God rejuvenates your life, it's like you're into a new person. You're very different, you know, it's like you're starting over again from scratch, you know, it's like, wow, you know, it's a new day, a new dawn, you know, so this title was so fitting for, you know, my journey and where I came from.